We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I did think it was funny between the break, Dustin. You're telling me about the prices for bowling, and I was telling you that the sport has just completely changed.
It's not what
I grew up with.
It's crazy. We went like, I want to say about 2 weeks ago, and it was four of us, my kids, and it was like a couple $100.
It's insane.
With the shoe rental and in like, I think we played two games or three games maybe.
Yeah, and you know what's odd about it is that it's almost turning into a rich man sport, which is, I mean, the opposite of what the sport has inherently ever been, like literally ever in life. You know, like usually when I tell people I'm like I bowled and I grew up in bowling alleys, it always came with a sense of like, oh,
it's like a
not a sense of like
serious blue collar sport.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like me. It's Ken and I's bonding point in life. We both grew up in bowling alleys. That's what it is. And if I told people I grew up playing golf, which I didn't, you'd be like, oh, well, nose up in the air, actually, probably, right? I tell people I grew up bowling.
Yeah, bowling's not a country club sport.
Not at all. But I feel like with the way the rates are these days, and I feel like I have to like account for it. Like I'm the USBC or something. I have to account for the rise in bowling prices because everyone tells me how expensive it's gotten. I just don't bowl anymore is all it is. So I'd have no idea. But it's different. If you, I met golfers that are this way too, where you grow up and you are, if you are something of a talent, you find ways around it all and you end up in a situation, like growing up, for instance, I didn't pay for much bowling growing up because there was a lot of people that would just foster my, my bowling abilities basically is what it is. And you just hang out enough and enough people be you know, it just, yeah, we'll turn on the lanes for you. I went every day for 7 years. And, handful of times I actually paid for bowling, right? Like that's just how that works. I imagine it's very similar in the golf world too. Like there's certain stories about different young phenoms that end up at country clubs when their parents have $0 to their name. There's also the stories of like Tony Finau, who used to have to hit into a mattress in his parents' garage. He became one of the greatest golfers of the previous decade. And he grew up in a little tiny place in Utah, and he would just hit into mattresses all day, every day. Like, it's weird how it works, but you know this. I mean, it's different with football because football isn't, like, inherently just you're on a field. It is what it is. But you know that. You have enough of a talent, people want to foster that, and they'll go out of their way to do so. Like, I'm sure you got free coaching when it came to track and field or stuff like that, or football, stuff like that that just kept popping up because people knew that you could jump through the roof and you had abilities that other people just didn't have. It's a thing. It's a real thing. But, yeah, it's embarrassing. Embarrassing for bowling how expensive it is these days.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how much it was when we went. But I just found out that for, like, the summer, they've got this deal where it's, like, it sounds too good to be true. It's, like, $50, and you can go pretty much, like, unlimited.
Well, that sounds great.
But you can only play two games.
Okay, two games a day, $50. Yeah, I mean, you got to do it.
It's stealing.
Yeah, I battle with this a lot. I don't know what to do with my daughter. Because if I get her into bowling, it's the best shot she's got to having a scholarship and like actually being good at something. I want her to be a golfer, but let's be honest about it. That's not in the genes. I love golf, but that's not in the genes. The genes are bowling, right? And so if I got her into it, I mean, I'm going to be around a bowling alley like all the time again. You know what I mean? And I'm going to have to, and I like bowling alleys, but I'll have to be around bowling alleys all the time again. But I don't know if I want to pay the, they charge by the lane these days. It's like $25 an hour or something.
It's a lot,
insane.
Dude. It's a lot.
Like, how expensive is it going to be to have my kid be a good bowler? It was never hockey. It was bowling. It was simple.
You know what else, too? I feel like when I was a kid and went to the bowling alley, they had way more of a selection of like, the balls to pick from to use.
Oh, yeah? Is it not as much now?
I don't know. Like, the alley that I went to, it was very difficult to find one that was suited for me.
You ever have a...
What poundage do you use?
I was 15. Which one are you using?
Anything that I can get my hands on.
Oh, really? Just whichever fits in there?
Yeah. Okay. Do you put your fingers in the holes?
Yeah, I do it. I do it traditional. Yeah, thank you.
You do?
Yeah. I avoided jokes we could have made there. Growth in life.
I mean, like my brother bowls, he just puts it in his hand and just spins it.
Yeah.
People do that?
People do that, especially if you're All right, let's get to the nits and grits of bowling before we get to a Donovan Mitchell conversation
nits
here.
Nits and grits.
You're playing with a plastic ball is what you're playing with. When you go and you do house bowling like you're talking about right here, yeah. You're playing with their equipment. It's all plastic balls. So it's the ball's not naturally supposed to hook at all. So the only way to actually get it to move is to do what your brother's basically
doing. English is
pool, but yes, essentially.
English is what?
English is pool. You put English on a pool ball. You don't put English on a bowling ball. You put English on a... If you're playing pool, you put English on it.
To make it spin?
It's a terminology thing. So I don't want to split hairs on it.
I've heard English all the time in bowling. No?
No, not a thing. No. You put English on a pool ball. If you're playing pool, you put English on it.
I understand that, Jonathan, but...
Bowling, there's no... It's not a terminology for it. Okay. It's hooking. That's all it is. It's about a hook.
It's a hook?
It's a hook. Heard John Fanta, by the way, on the call on Fox... Doing the PBA Cheetah Open.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
He's doing like three straight days. I think he's like at the World Series of Bowling. John Fanta's the lead guy.
I did a couple of games, college games, with this announcer that did a lot of the PBA stuff.
Was it Rob Stone?
No. It was Dave. Oh, what's his name? Golly. Starts with them. You don't know? You're a bowling guy.
I got nothing. I've only recently got back into the PBA tour. Now I'm in the Rob Stone, John Fanta era is what I'm in. It's a different world out there.
Dave Lamont.
Oh, okay. All right. I have heard of Dave Lamont.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you if he's good or not, but I have heard of him.
He was the lead play-by-play announcer for the PBA events on ESPN. So, you know, I'm just saying.
That was many years ago. We're on Fox now. I say we as if I'm a part of it. Dale, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. So to go along with your bowling comment, I think it's harder to actually find a house that re-oils like an actual new shot out there instead of just having like the birthday party push down.
Yep.
Or just the open bowling push down.
Which actually would help hooking a plastic ball.
Not really, because then you have all the oil at the end of the lane, the plastic's not going to want to hook.
No, but if there's no oil on the lane, the plastic's going to hook. The fronts will be all burned up. You can hook a ball.
That's fair.
Oh, Dale, all right. All right. Hold on. All right. Keith is destroyed by an interesting bowling conversation. That's all.
I mean, this is really nits and grits bowling.
Well, I mean, yeah, for Dale, because Dale wanted to.
I mean, we're going to get, like, cause accidents.
Dale wanted to tell me about how bowling operates, and I wasn't going to allow that, and I was going to do it in a nice term. He well actuated me on what goes on a bowling alley. That's not okay in my world. So, yeah, I had to go and spend the 30 seconds to go ahead and correct him on that. And I did it in a nice manner, too. I wasn't cutthroat about it. I wasn't mean like I'm being right now.
You might have to put that in your show open.
You know what I hate, though? So bowling's a good reminder to me sometimes. That like, I'll go on like golf TikTok all the time, right? And I'll try to learn how to like some stupid little golf technique. And there'll be 12 million people in the comments well actually in the hell out of like golf professionals and everything about what in the hell to do and what not to do. And I'll be like, oh man, maybe these guys are right. They talk with such authority on it. Maybe they're right. They're not right. I go to these bowling TikToks and half these guys are idiots. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Oh. I one time thought about making like a YouTube video where I just get angry and yell about bowling and see if I could yell about Jason Belmonte enough to go ahead and get some traction. Well, can I take a Pete Weber call, or are we moving on?
Oh, we can take a Pete Weber call.
Can I take a Pete Weber call?
I mean, he put him up. Ken Carpenter would take a Pete Weber call.
Donovan Mitchell thing, so he's been teasing it for 40 minutes.
Nope. We'll get to Donovan when we get to Donovan. Someone wants to talk about the GOAT of bowling, and you want to go ahead and say no to that. And you better believe I got like 75 Pete Weber stories. Hunter, you're up next in the fan. What's up, Hunter?
Who do you think you are?
I am! Yeah. It never gets old. It never gets old.
Oh, absolutely.
That's it.
Hey, man, okay, bowling's an underrated sport. You know, you look back to John Candy and Uncle Buck, you know, the greatest to ever do it, and you look no further.
Yeah,
if he bowls, I bowl.
All right, thank you, Hunter. I mean, you ever hit a golf shot and say, who do you think you are? I am? It's one of the great pleasures in life.
I've heard him interviewed about that, and he just said he had something in mind he wanted to say. He was so mad there was a kid or something was heckling him.
Yeah.
You know the story, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he was bowling for a major.
Obviously.
And he got mad at one of the – but he got mad at people all the time. That was just kind of his deal.
But he said
he tried to make bowling into wrestling, and he was a very he was obnoxious when it came to that stuff. He's a fantastic person, though.
But he said he didn't mean to say that. He just was trying to say something. He was so angry, and that just came out.
Yeah. No, so my fun Pete Weber story is I used to actually bowl a league with Pete Weber, and I went to school with his daughter. It's wild. You know what wild bowling is? Is that I legitimately got to bowl in a league with Pete Weber where I'd go head to head with Pete Weber. That doesn't happen in other sports. There's no random.
You're the Shipley kid.
Yeah, that's what that is, though. Isn't that wild? There's no going up to the YMCA and being like, oh, I guess I'm in a weekly game with LeBron. Like, it doesn't work that way. That's a beautiful thing about bowling. Could you imagine at your club tonight showing up and you're like, oh, there's Sinner just out there hitting shots and he's playing against Joe Schmo. And guess what? Because I'm playing tonight, I'm going to go ahead and go in a match against him. That's wild.
That would be wild.
I think it's wild.
How'd you do against him?
I actually beat him in one series. We went head to head with each other. I actually did beat him, but he won a large percentage of it. He's really good. He was
The guy was one of the.
I had to shoot 780 to beat him, which is not easy task. Let's put it that way.
What's that mean? How many games?
That means I averaged 260 over three games. And that's the only way I was able to beat him.
You beat Pete Weber.
Yeah, for one week I beat Pete Weber.
I don't care. You beat him in something.
Yeah, but isn't that? I just think the whole bit behind it is wild that you can play one of the if not the greatest of all time. You just get to go ahead and play against him,
but you beat him.
Yes, once. But I had to average 260 to beat him.
Okay, but like that, if somebody beat Michael Jordan in basketball one time, you'd be like, wow.
I don't act like I suck at this.
I mean, I don't.
No, I just don't do it anymore.
Yeah, that should be like in your Twitter profile. I once beat P. Weber in bowling.
Maybe it will be.
Why would you not have that in
maybe,
there?
Maybe it will be now. I never thought about it. We put that life behind us.
No, we don't.
We put that life behind us.
No.
We don't care about that life
no,
anymore.
No, we do.
Unless for the 15 minutes I can talk about that instead of Donovan Mitchell. We don't care about that life
anymore. No, beep out that life.
Like you hyping me up, though.
Dude, Keith, if you beat one of the greatest...
It'd be all over my social media.
No, it wouldn't.
How the hell
no,
do you not brag about that? How's that never come up before?
No, you guys would not...
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm absolutely stunned by this.
Act like you've been there before. You guys act like I played at the Little Sisters of the
Poor. Nobody else has been there before, Jonathan.
I went to a school that wins national titles in this. It's not like I went to a tiny little school.
Again...
But you're not around those people anymore.
But you're not the most humble guy in the world. We know that about you. So why
we don't have to completely agree across the room on that equation.
I was just thinking, this is the most humble. This is the most humble I've ever seen you ever.
Yeah, you're not the most humble guy. Well, why would that would? That's something you can brag about.
I know with certainty I've told this story on the air before.
Okay, maybe you have. I haven't heard it, and I think that's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I like that. You think
I'm actually stunned right now.
I've been telling you guys for years. I've been telling you. No, I swear on my life. I don't know how to prove it to you. I can find a score. I can probably find a. I'll text some people. We'll see if I can find a score sheet from the week that I beat him.
That should be your header on Twitter.
I had a photo of it a million years ago because I did think it was cool. But again, I bowled him every week. I bowled him every week.
You did think it was cool? It's still cool.
No, but it's not. The difference is that. I have so many friends that are actually legitimately friends with Pete Weber. Like, you see my Facebook feed. It's constantly, like, hanging out with Pete this weekend and doing all these things. Like, so you just become, it just becomes numb because everyone's got the same stories.
So you think your friends who are in the bowling community would make fun of you?
It's not that. They might actually. But
have they beat Pete Weber?
Yeah, a lot of the people that I'm referencing in this, they've all had days where they beat Pete Weber. Yes, it does happen. It's a thing. But it's like in the radio, right? Like, If you're around a group of people that aren't in the radio, they think it's cool. But if I'm hanging out with you, Nick Wilson, Keith, and Kayla, it's like, oh yeah, oh, we're all in radio. Okay, sweet. You know, like it's not the same thing.
Yeah, but nobody here is in that community.
I know, I'm not in that community either anymore.
Like you thought it was cool that I was ranked really high coming out of high school, and I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal.
You don't think that's the coolest thing ever. You're the seventh best DB in high school.
Yeah, but there's other cooler
in the country.
There's cooler things I've done.
I know. You won a national title.
Yeah, well, that's in my bio.
Yeah, people just don't care about bowling the same way, though.
I would.
That's nice of you, but they don't. I've been living with that my whole life. And
are you a national champion?
No, I'm not a national champion. No.
But your university won many.
We won two. We've won two in the previous 15 years.
But not when you were there.
I mean,
Jonathan.
No.
Yeah. If you played high school baseball against Aaron Judge and you struck out Aaron Judge, would you not brag about that?
Oh, I would be bragging about that till I die.
You guys are giving me a lot to consider now. You guys are giving me a lot, kind of the equivalent here, right? I know. I never thought about it that way. I honestly never did.
I think we're giving you a lot of pros here as to why you should be pimping that out.
I should be talking about it more.
Yes.
We should be.
I guarantee you, I don't know
if you need to talk about it more, but put it on your social media at least, maybe, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you told me ten minutes ago you want to talk about this way less.
The assassin strikes again.
That's the one directive you gave me, is we need to talk about this way less than what we're talking about this.
No, but that's a big deal, dude.
All right. Let's talk about Donovan Mitchell. I'm too humble
for
this conversation.
Did you once beat him
one-on-one
or something?
I'm too humble for this conversation.
I feel like we got to bring Pete Weber on at some point to...
That would be lovely. We can talk about his daughter that I went to school with. We can have a St. Charles, Missouri conversations. How do we do that?
We
can do a who do you think you are, I am off, if you want.
How do we do that? I think Keith just reaches out and gets him.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be particularly hard.
No. I mean, he's not...
What's the hardest guest to get?
Because he's not Aaron Judge, I don't think it'd be particularly hard to book him.
I mean, he goes
exactly
home.
Why I don't need to put it in my Twitter profile.
He's either at the bowling alley or home. I mean, where
what
else
do you think?
Be?
What do you think a harder thing to book would be? Aaron Judge or Pete Weber? I rest my case. You could have Pete Weber booked by the end of the hour, probably, if you tried hard.
I'm just gonna go get another Pete Weber.
It's like that old Tom Brady commercial. All right, leave that there. Now you've humbled me. You yesterday had mentioned the centerpiece of a team with Donovan. And we did, it was a very quick, brief back and forth. And then we kind of moved on. And then our buddy Chris Fedor today, Cleveland.com, he wrote, 7 years ago, Cavs star Donovan Mitchell was with coach and mentor Johnny Bryan, who told Mitchell to write down goals, no matter how lofty. Mitchell revealed one to Cleveland.com, becoming the face of the NBA. And it was this whole profile piece essentially saying how Donovan Mitchell wants to be the face of the NBA and how winning in the postseason is the only thing that stands in the way from Donovan truly accomplishing those goals. And I want to ask you guys, 216-474 to below 92, and I'll ask you, Dustin, does Donovan think he's a centerpiece? I know you said yesterday you thought he was a centerpiece.
I think he is, yeah.
I debated that on the merits that, you know, the Ringer put out a ranking a few weeks ago. They had him as the 15th best player in the NBA. And then you look at where he potentially would be traded to. Philadelphia, Miami, they got Embiid, they got Jimmy Butler. Like, all the places that you're talking about would not use Donovan Mitchell as the focal point. And I wonder now, as we enter, it's age 26 season, we're entering age 27 season with Donovan Mitchell. I wonder if we're hitting a point, Dustin, where just the conversation has moved on when it comes to Donovan being that centerpiece of a team that can get you past the second round, because he hasn't been able to.
Mm.
And he's had a lot of support here with the Cavs. It's not like he has bad players, but him being the Batman... At some point, he's got to say, you know what? I'm not that guy. I thought I was that guy. I'm not that guy.
I don't know about that. I don't know that he needs to think like that or say that or feel that way, because I believe he has the ability to be the centerpiece and carry the team. Now, the problem is he hasn't really been healthy in these moments. And so that's the big concern. I mean, he's not built like LeBron James, where he can just, like, LeBron's never hurt.
Right.
He just isn't. I mean, this guy's played 20 years. He's never hurt. Donovan's battled a lot of injuries. He's just not as big as LeBron, and you know, maybe that's asking too much of him. I don't know. I think he's as talented as anybody in this league. And on any given night, there's very few guys that can go for 50.
Yeah, I don't think he's as talented as anybody. I draw a line there. I just don't think that. I think he's very, very good. And I don't know. Maybe I'm protecting my own feelings a little bit. Or I'm getting ahead of this because I'm seeing some of the writing on the wall, and it looks like if the Cavs don't end up winning deep in the postseason, we're going to have a Donovan Mitchell-less Cavs basketball team, and then there's going to be people like me, well, you're better off without him. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting ahead of it is all this is. But I look at Donovan, and I think to myself, why is it he's never made it out of the second round? And it's not necessarily even – like Jared Greenberg yesterday had said that he would build a team around – Jared Allen and Darius Garland. It's not even that. It's more the idea that when Donovan lays his head down at night, if he does fall short this postseason, and dare I say if he falls short against the Magic in the first round, and we don't even get to take on Boston, we're taking on Boston, feels like you're taking on Patrick Mahomes. You're just entering a brick wall. You're not getting past. If we get there, will Donovan say to himself, you know what? I tried. I did the very best I could. Maybe I do need to join a super team of sorts. Maybe I do need to join a team that's already got somebody that is an all-NBA player, and we can go from there. And I don't think that's crazy. If you're Donovan Mitchell and the goals are what Chris Fedor laid out in his Cleveland.com article, that you want to be a superstar, you want to be one of the faces of the league, never making it out of the second round is not how you get there, Dustin. And I used this previously as an exclamation point in the Donovan Mitchell narrative for Cavs fans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'd mentioned previously how being the alpha on this team, being the number one scorer, being the number one player, being the face when ESPN does a Cavs coming to town profile, they like the graphic is of Donovan Mitchell. That's huge. That's big for somebody's brand if you want to be the face of the NBA, especially if you're on a team that was competing to be a two seed for the entire season in the East. That's huge. But if Donovan wakes up and looks around and says, I don't know. I don't know if I am a centerpiece, then I think we're going to have a different conversation. And it's not because the Cavs did anything wrong, because the Cavs have given him every opportunity to be the centerpiece here. The one thing I think we have going in this discussion, and the selling point I would make if I were the Cavs and Kobe Altman, I'm sitting down with Donovan. I'm saying, you get to be the face of this team. Your name is out on the marquee, so to speak. You get to be the superstar. And what comes with being the superstar is all the glory if you get the job done. And I think that's got to be the big selling point here.
Well, number one, I don't know that it's fair that we've judged him on the past, although that's all you have to go off of. I get that. I think that, like, when he was in Utah, how good were those teams?
They were good. Rudy Gobert, he wins how many Defensive Player of the Year awards?
Yeah.
They were good. They weren't great, but they were good.
Not great. I mean, I think that if Donovan, I think Donovan can be the centerpiece if some of these other guys can step up. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think that's what the Cavs are trying to do. Think about it. Again, in that same
round. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thinking that the Ringer had, we had four players in the top 60. This is why I give Kobe Altman some slack, and I cut him some grace, because he assembled a team. There's no LeBron on here. There's no Kevin Durant. There's no Giannis. There's no Jokic. There's no top end. There's no Luka. That doesn't exist on this team. Donovan's great, but he's not one of those type of players, right? And so what he did was he took a top 15 player and he put three other guys in the top 60 around him. It's a great idea on paper. Now, was it constructed with some flaws? Of course it was. But in theory, that's exactly what you would try to do. Because in theory, that's also what the Denver Nuggets do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Denver Nuggets don't have an all-star since Carmelo Anthony in 2010. Not named Nikola Jokic. But their team is they're just a very good basketball team with a lot of really good players that are really good and not considered great. But everyone knows their roles. And they're able to go ahead and make that work. And they're able to go ahead and really have a bunch of success because of that. And I feel like that's kind of what the Cavs were trying to do as well. It's not completely the 0-4 Pistons, but it's on that same path. We're going to have a bunch of really good players, but our very, very top-end best is not going to be Giannis. It's not going to be Jokic. It's not going to be one of the top-end guys. And I think Donovan, at some point he's going to look himself in the mirror and he's going to ask himself, can I be that top-end guy, or does it make more sense to go play with Jimmy Butler? Does it make more sense to go play with Joel Embiid? And does it make more sense to go ahead and make my life easier? You know, it's not bad being Kyrie Irving to LeBron James. That's not a bad lot in life. It's not bad being Dwayne Wade to LeBron James. I'm just going to mention every side piece to LeBron James. We can just keep doing this whole thing.
You need more time than that.
But it's not.
I'm kidding. Just kidding. Totally kidding.
But it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. That's like you still get to be a superstar. Is Dwayne Wade any less a superstar? Is Kyrie Irving any less a superstar winning alongside LeBron? Like, if the whole goal is be a superstar and be one of the faces of the NBA, Donovan's looking around and understanding that he can still be a face of the league. He can still do everything he wants to do. But his life will be easier if he joins Miami, if he joins Philadelphia. Because if he's the main guy, if he's the centerpiece, historically what we've seen, that's not good enough in the NBA. And that's a hard realization that he has to take. For somebody with as much as he should, as much belief in his own abilities as he has, you know how hard that would be to turn around and say, I can't be that guy. I can't be the A-list actor in the movie. I got to be the part that plays the best friend of the A-list actor in the movie. I'm Ben Affleck to Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. Like, that sucks. That sucks. But at some point, if you want to make a good film, you got to have that realization. If you want to have a good NBA career, at some point, Donovan Mitchell's got to come to that realization.
You got to have some awareness, right? And self-awareness of what you can do and what you can't and what you need.
And that's got to be so hard. I will empathize with how hard that would have to be for him to come to that realization. Because in his mind, and really his entire life, since he was beating up adults at 16, playing on playgrounds in New York at Rucker Park, like, he has always been the best player on any court he stepped on. But this is the NBA. This isn't some sort of, you know, it isn't a tiny JUCO that he's trying to jockey to make relevant. Like, this is the NBA. Every other team, seemingly, is having all sorts of super teams or at least tandems formed up. Sometimes it's what you got to do, and he's got to look around and wonder to himself, if I take that B role, if I take that secondary role, am I going to have the success that I've always wanted? Now, there's downsides to this too, right? Like, all day today, my NBA friends and people around NBA world were talking about, can we possibly make LeBron James a second-team All-NBA player when Anthony Davis is going to be a second-team or better All-NBA player this year? How do we put two guys to be considered a top 10 player in the league when the Lakers are playing in a play-in game tonight? You know, there becomes some of those hard questions. LeBron's probably not going to make second team based off the idea that not enough people can overcome that. If he teams up with a Jimmy Butler, if he teams up with a Joel Embiid, he'll give himself the best chance to win big. But he won't be the face. And I feel like that's the hard part for Donovan to try to at least overcome here. 216-474 to below 92. But that's a selling point the Cavs have to make. They have to tell him, you're going to be the face here. Now, do you really think you can win being the face? We're wondering whether or not Donovan believes that he's a centerpiece. And in case you missed Chris's piece earlier on Cleveland.com, Chris was saying he wants to become the face of the NBA. It's been a long-standing goal of Donovan Mitchell to become the face of the NBA. And like, the headline, I think, says it all. Winning in the playoffs is the only thing that stands between Donovan Mitchell and what he wants most, greatness. And if we're talking about greatness, there's been a lot of players better than you, Donovan, that have decided to go ahead and leave and take the easy way out.
You think he stays because of that?
I don't know. I feel like it changes every single day. But like, this has got to be the pitch, right? This has got to be the big move that Altman and everyone else and Gilbert say to Donovan Mitchell. Hey, go ahead, take the easy way out. We've seen people in this city do it before. Go ahead, take the easy way out if you want. Go join a super team. Join Miami. Slap us in the face in a really bad way if you want. But, you know, that's fine. You'll never be great. You'll be the Robin to somebody else's Batman. And the NBA title that you get? Well, okay. People aren't going to look at it as yours. They're going to look at it as somebody else's. And now, if you were to ask Kyrie Irving how he thought about that, Kyrie would be like, no one ever thinks about anything about my NBA title outside of the fact that the shot is one of the greatest shots in NBA history. Mm-hmm. No one has taken a single thing away from Kyrie Irving when it comes to whether or not he is or isn't an NBA champion. And you can make an argument, Kyrie Irving wouldn't have half the things if he wasn't associated with LeBron James. He wouldn't have the Nike deal. He wouldn't have the cachet to be able to go through when he turned into a complete Looney Tunes, to have people actually stand by him and be like, all right, we got you, Kyrie. All that wouldn't have happened if not for his association with LeBron and winning that title. There's a lot that comes with winning a title.
Kyrie? Kyrie had a Nike deal before LeBron.
I thought LeBron funneled that deal.
No, look, Kyrie came into the league with a huge Nike deal. I had his shoes.
I believe you. Only like 7 people have Nike deals. It's not a high number. Ja getting a Nike deal was huge.
Jason Tatum.
There's a lot. And I would imagine Kyrie being on the Cavs and LeBron's proximity to Nike played a pretty big part in that one. Can we agree on that at least?
I don't know. I mean, he's the number one overall pick.
All right. I don't know that he would have stayed having a Nike deal. Let's put it that way. You think he would have stayed having it? Nike would have stayed with him the entire stretch
of
the
Nike
way?
pulled out his contract now, right? Because of his crazy talk.
You're a bigger shoe guy than I am, clearly, in this, because I'm just getting dominated in Nike history conversation.
Yeah, but that was a pretty major headline when Nike dropped him.
I mean, the point being, there's been a lot of success in Kyrie Irving's life based off of that NBA title, right? And there's been a lot. It hasn't slowed him down in the slightest bit.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail the conversation. No, your point is well served, I guess, in terms of the player getting more notoriety. And, yeah, I mean, now that he's a champion and played with LeBron, people do look at him differently. Had he been in the league and done the exact same thing, put up the same numbers, he'd be Dame Lillard.
Well, but he also, exactly right. That's a great point. He would be Dame Lillard. And Dame had to go to Milwaukee to try to link up with Giannis to go ahead and actually hit greatness. And now, if we're staying with Kyrie for a second, he's almost casted into this role. We keep talking about whether you can be the guy or not the guy. He's casted into this role. Why do you think he's back into a situation that's working perfectly for him? Because he's with Luka, and Luka's the guy. You either are or you aren't. And I'm getting some Twitter reactions here and a lot of good tweets. Ryan is saying he's trying to be Adam Sandler, talking about Donovan Mitchell. He's trying to be Adam Sandler when he needs to be the Kevin James to an Adam Sandler. I King of Queens was awesome. I don't know. I mean, Kevin James did some things. Yeah, we can rip on him for Paul Blart, Mall Cop. And I'll make fun of that Sean Payton movie that he made. That was a disgrace.
Never saw that one.
Oh, boy. Oh, same as Sean Payton. And they go through basically when he got kicked out for Bountygate. And it's an awful movie. It's like
he plays Sean Payton?
He plays Sean Payton.
Did he lose weight?
And then, no, that's the best part of it. Well, it's skinnier Kevin James. It's skinnier Kevin James. And at one point late in the movie, Sean Payton shows up as the janitor. And gives Kevin James acting as Sean Payton life advice. And you're like, who thought this through? No one thought this through. This got greenlit. How? All the things you could have made in Hollywood? So, and this is what got made?
What's that movie called?
I don't even remember what it was called. I watched it, and then I Men in Black erased it from my brain the moment that
it
happened.
The Home Team.
The Home Team. There we go. It was an hour and a half of awfulness.
It got a, on Rotten Tomatoes, what'd it get? I have it in front of me.
27%?
21.
Yeah. That felt like a 21% movie.
It was a 21-er.
That felt like it. But there are A-list actors or B-list actors. There's every bit of it. Donovan right now to me feels more B-list than he does A-list. And I know there are people right now that are very mad at that statement. They're very mad. It's like, oh, he's everything. He's the 15th best player in the NBA. If there's a world out there where the Cavs can move forward without Donovan and life still moves on. Because Donovan right now, I don't think can be the number one on a championship level team. I think he thinks that he can. I don't know that he can be the centerpiece. And I don't hate what Kobe Altman and company were trying to build. I really don't. I understand what they were doing. I would have made the trade all over again for Donovan Mitchell. But he hasn't made it out of the second round once. You can say that's because he's been on a lack of quality teams all you want. The way that Donovan actually achieves greatness is if he links up with an actual top 10 player in the game, top 5 player in the game, and then I believe he can win. And if he wants greatness, he'll be looked at as great. He'll be perceived as great. And he'll win a title, and he'll get everything he wants. And I feel like that's why the piece from Chris today was very insightful into what Donovan Mitchell's logic is going to be. Donovan's not stupid. There's no way he's stupid. He connects these dots. But the selling point for the Cavs has to be, you can be everything if you stay with the Cavs. Like, it'll be, if he ever wins a title with the Cavs as the main number one and proves me wrong here, I mean, that's statue stuff. You get to be in every TV commercial in Cleveland history until the end of time type stuff, as long as you want to stay. Like, you're knighted in this city, okay?
A statue next to LeBron? Is it as big as LeBron's?
It would be, yeah, if Donovan Mitchell wins an NBA championship with the Cavs, and he's the main focal point, like he's the main person, it's as large as LeBron's statue. Doesn't mean he's as liked as LeBron, but you got to make it equal size. By the way, you know that Allen Iverson statue we talked about last week?
Yeah.
Turns out all those statues were all pint size. They were all toddler size. They were all like the same size as the Allen Iverson one. At the practice field in Philadelphia, or the practice complex, they did like a snapshot, like a wide snapshot of all the other statues that they actually have once they put them all in a row. And Allen Iverson's is the same height as everybody else's. They just make historically small statues there.
It's weird.
I know.
Who else has a statue?
I think it's like every important, like Moses Malone, Dr. J, like everyone that's been important in 76er history.
Is there an Embiid one yet?
That was actually on the IL.
Okay.
That's funny. Injured. All right, leave that there. We got a lot more to do with the Cavs. Zach Lowe spoke on the Cavs. We'll have that at 5:20. I want to gauge your guys' interest in this one. A lot of conversation around the Magic so far this week. Obviously, we'll dive more into that as the week moves on. I haven't had my perception changed of Orlando, but it is kind of funny how people want to take one of the two teams between them and the Pacers as what felt like the lucky team to play, and now they're turning them into absolute studs. Okay, keep telling me how great you think Jonathan Isaac is. I've watched him play basketball. He's very good defensively, but people are turning him into God's gift of basketball, and it's just like we get ahead of ourselves a little bit too much. He's very good, but let's not get crazy.